Oh, okay, thank you. So hello everybody for the con today's conf call. I think that we can start by the roll call and to approve the agenda. I'll remember that I think that everybody should send the statement of interest to Glenn. So please as soon as possible. Glenn, can you start the roll call, please?
I'll do that for you, Rafik. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Rafik Damak, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Alex Gakuru, Tijani Benjema, Carlos Aguirre, Sébastien Bachelet, Alan Greenberg, Fabien Betremieux, Evan Leibovich, Richard Tindall, Avery Doria, Elaine Preece, Tony Harris about to join again, Andrew Mack. From staff, we have Olaf Nordling, Glenn de Saint-Géry, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Boudouin Chambé, Olga Cavalli, Michele Nalon, Chuck Gomes, Bull Drake, Van de Scartazzini. If I can please remind everyone to state their names before speaking for transcript purposes, and also if your line is noisy, please use star 6 to mute and star 6 again to unmute. Thank you. Over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Gisela.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, just Tony Harris. I'm joining because I didn't get called out.
Okay. Hello, guys. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
So, okay, let's start. We start with to approve the agenda. And I said before that everyone should send his SOI to Glenn. So, any objection to today's agenda? Okay, I think that we can go ahead to the item 2, which is about nomination of and share election. So, any idea or suggestion?
Is there any volunteer?
Any volunteer, yeah.
Yeah.
Cheryl, you're online?
I am online, but I'm heavily committed with the accountability and transparency review process. So I would be loath to take a formal position in a work group that I may not have 100% attendance at.
Yeah, it was not. Sorry, Cheryl, Sebastian. It was not my point. You want me to say what we suggest as at large. I guess it was XCOM or the ALAC, I don't know, for the chair of this working group. You want me to go ahead or you want to do
Well, Sebastian, you'll have to tell me exactly what you're talking about because, to my knowledge, we didn't make
okay.
any considered ruling. We simply appointed our formal liaison to this work group and said that as liaison, Carlos would be available to assist Rafik in co-chairing this introductory part of the meeting.
Okay.
So, okay, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just note that certainly from the GNSO side, but I believe it was the intent of the ALAC also that the liaison specifically not be the chairs unless someone wishes to take on that role, because normally the liaison is acting as the go-between, but not necessarily chairing the group. I don't think there's any hard, fast rule in that, however.
Well, there will be strong guidelines if we're going to adopt the current draft work group procedures, which does outline the independence and role of the liaison very clearly, and they do have a role in assisting the chair's activity. But, yes, I would strongly agree with what Alan just said.
I do agree, yes, with Alan.
Okay, so we need
Avery,
to...
Avery, what are you doing in all your spare time?
Oh, what am I doing? I'm participating in all sorts of groups. Oh, one thing... This is Aubrey speaking. One thing I started talking. One thing.
I can't hear.
Okay, I'm sorry. One thing I might suggest is that perhaps, because one of the things we did talk about also in the meeting that Cheryl was mentioning is that perhaps a group won't be necessary to either appoint one of its own or someone to jump up and volunteer at the beginning of a first meeting, and that perhaps the liaison can sort of chair through the first meeting, see if a volunteer sort of becomes apparent during the meeting, or even start the second meeting with that, so that the liaison, while totally agreeing with those who spoke before that they shouldn't be the chairs, can certainly facilitate and chair the beginnings of the group as it begins to form.
So, my understanding that it's the liaison we chair temporarily that working group, and that's why we need to nominate and to elect the chair. So, if we cannot maybe to select someone today, we can at least do it before the 10th of May, when we have also to approve our working group charter.
Rafik, you've got several people in the queue.
Oh, yeah. So, Alan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was, Avery beat me to the punch in suggesting that the co-chairs stay on as chair at the moment. There's another rationale, and that's this meeting was scheduled on very short notice, and there's a large number of people who are not attending. So although we may find it easy to pick one of them to be chair, I would suggest this is better a discussion held over the list, and then perhaps at the next meeting at the beginning name the chair, try to identify the chair. And there's still a very bad echo.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. So, Tijani, please go ahead.
Yes, I do support what Alan said, but first, can we ask if there is any volunteer among people who are now on the bridge?
I think we would have heard if there was.
Okay, well, so any volunteer? Okay, I think that we can... Alan, please,
no,
go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just hadn't lowered it.
Oh, I thought you were volunteering, Alan.
No.
Okay, so maybe if as we need to move ahead, so we can let this issue to be discussed in the mailing list, and so to elect the chair in the next conf call. So any objection to this? This
no.
Video, no?
I support.
Not an objection, Rafik. It's. And when you say CLO, it is Cheryl. But I did wonder, and I agree with us moving forward that way, whether or not we could spend a moment, however, discussing whether the group believes we need a chair or a pair of co-chairs, because that would make a difference to some volunteers, for example, if they felt that there was a role sharing rather than a huge role to be taken on. That may influence some people's decisions. And the other thing is, of course, as Avery and I spent quite some minutes discussing this morning in another work group, if all else fails, we can have the chartering organisation appoint a chair.
Okay. So, I didn't get your point, Cheryl, sorry.
Should we have a call for a chair, singular, or does this work group believe the role could be taken on by co-chairs, plural?
Oh, okay, thank you. That's more clear now. Tijen, please.
Yes, I do. I do think that we need two co-chairs for the reasons that everyone knows. I mean, availability. Any problem can happen.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. So, I think that as Cheryl said, we can discuss maybe later about if we need to share or co-share with all the participants in the of the working group and the mailing list. So and so we can go ahead to the item 3 for the about the working group charter.
This is Olaf here. If you allow me, Rafik. I think it calls for some kind of action point here, and I would like to take well take that on me to send out to the list that nominations for, and that's the question. I mean, of volunteers for co-chairs, and I want to drill a little bit into this. Is it so that we have one co-chair from the GNSO side, one co-chair from the ALAC side, or any other conditions about this?
Thank you, Olaf. That's a good point. Maybe if also that we have a GAC participant, so we need even maybe a GAC co-chair in that working group. So please, can you send that email to the mailing list? And
Rafik, can you tell us?
So we have Alan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I would suggest that we send out a call for chair, co-chairs, and vice chairs, and we, based on what response we get, we do a selection. I think we're spending far more time than we need to at this point on worrying about the structure of what may be a very short-lived committee, and we need to at least to start talking about the substance of what we're going to do. The board gave us what I consider effectively a very impossible criteria, that is to find sustainable support for these unspecified groups of people, and I think we need to start talking about that and worry less about the management structure.
Yes, I agree, Alan. That's why I'm trying that can maybe just at this point with all the members and the mailing list and to go ahead to the item 3 and 4, which more I think are more important now for our...
We face it, if we get any volunteers, we'll be lucky.
Yeah, I think so.
Alan, as I did say, it's very easy. If there are no volunteers, the chartering organisation, or in this case, organisations, plural, can make appointment or appointments.
Yep. Okay. Yep. I think Avery said in the chat. Avery, go ahead, please.
And hopefully I can be heard now. I dialed back in. And basically people can nominate. So once we see the whole group of people, we listen to how people are participating over this meeting and the next. People can nominate people. Sometimes people may not be strong on, you know, putting themselves forward and volunteering. And especially if we want to pick some chairs who have shown themselves to be good participants in groups in the past, but who have never, you know, put themselves forward in some of these roles, especially if we're going for co-chairs, we may find that it's reasonable for someone to nominate people. I've certainly inflicted nominations on other people in other groups many times, and I find that it works quite well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Avery. So, okay, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. Just one very quick thought. Traditionally, a chair is a relatively independent person who does not have views on the subject itself. Again, in this case, I think we can be flexible on that, and because someone wants to be an active participant in the group should not preclude them being the chair. At least I would like to see this group have that flexibility.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, so as I think Avery said, people can nominate other people to volunteer for the chair, co-chair, or even vice chair. And so we can continue maybe the discussion and the mailing list, and I think that we should go ahead to the item three, because we are almost in the half of our conf call, and we started a little bit late. So what do people think about that?
Yes, I second.
That sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the working group charter. I think maybe Olof can present that the preliminary draft that you sent to the mailing list.
Yes, and I have it up on Adobe Connect. Thank you, Rafik. This is Olof here. And it is a very, as I say, preliminary draft because, the mandate and the task is comparatively wide open, one could say. So this is very tentative. And what I've actually put into it was to explore a few of the lines that one could think about. Just from the preamble, on one hand, I say, I drafted that the working group expects to identify suitable criteria for provision of support, to identify suitable support forms, and identify potential providers of such support. Then, again, since there is no limitation that it should be handled in any particular way, at least not from the outset, that, however, there is no presumption that the outcome will imply any particular governing structure, since it could, the final recommendation could be that this would be wholly on a voluntary nature, and in such a case, the governing structure would be inappropriate. So this is just a very first attempt to write down something to see the reactions rather than that it is a suggestion of any sort, just to get the discussion started. So thoughts from that perspective on the preamble, perhaps you've read it.
Oh, thank you, Olof. Oh, okay, Alan, please.
Yeah, I've got a few thoughts on the preamble, but I'd like to give the overall impression also. First of all, a question. I'm not sure what the term dedicated support means in the second line of the preamble. Olof, can you elaborate on that?
Well, you could say something that, of course, to some degree, there would be a general support or information and such to all applicants. Part of the application procedure, one could say. There are supports in the sense of we have the pass system and question and answer possibilities and such support. Dedicated support would be rather focused to a limited set of applicants. That's what I meant, at least. I wrote it.
Okay, I'm not sure that dedicated implies the right thing to someone reading this, but that notwithstanding, I find some of the objectives and the order of the objectives, I guess presumptuous is the best word I can come up with, and I understand the order may not have been important in suggesting them, but in reading them it becomes important. Since we are talking about this group developing concepts of how, of who and how applicants may be supported, with the explicit comment that essentially we are putting zero ICANN resources into it other than this, perhaps the staff that is assisting us in helping this, I find it rather presumptuous that we may even consider that we are identifying the criteria. Whoever it is that's actually going to be providing the support is the one that's going to make the judgment whether they want to support someone or something in this area. And again, conditions for that have to be followed, I think, is something out of our domain until we get to the meat of the question and say what kind of support are we talking about and who are the potential sources. So I think the objectives 2 and 3 are really the focal point. And going along with that, I think the issue of governing structure for a group that is not us, we don't know who it is, and is certainly not our money, I think is overstepping the bounds until we have at least identified that and start to get a feel for what is necessary.
Thank you, Alan. We have Tijani in the queue, and Avery, please go. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes. I would like to talk about objective number four, which is part, I think, the conditions are part of the criteria outlined in objective one. So I do see that it is almost a duplication.
Thank you. So, Avery?
Okay, hi. This is Avery. I actually guess I'm taking a slightly different tack than Alan on it. I think in perhaps absolute terms, certainly this group is not going to put out a prospectus for prospective applicants sort of saying, if you meet these criteria, you will get money. But I also think that if we don't have a certain number of criteria, recommended criteria, albeit, that we intend to put forth to the donors or to any other method we may come up with for dealing with providing support or finding a way to, you know, come up with technical teams that can provide in-kind support or any of these things. If we don't have a set of criteria of who we think these things need to help, we have absolutely no way to bring them on board. You know, if it's sort of a general, well, you know, there's going to be some applicants and they're going to have some problems, maybe financial, maybe technical, maybe business, and going to need advising and perhaps grants, perhaps loans. But, you know, more than that, we can't really tell you. They're going to say, hey, you know, and I have gone to people asking for money for various things, and they say, you know, give us a perspective of what it is you want to support, and we'll discuss it with you, and we'll negotiate. And yes, maybe we'll give you some feedback and say, well, we buy input, except that, you know, we're not willing to give it to associations that are advocates for political goals, but we're willing to give it to those who are advocates for the homeless, or, you know, some such things like that. That does happen in a negotiation. So I actually do see all four of these objectives as being necessary. I think this group is going to get to its position in sort of a process of stepwise refinement that will come up with a first approximation, or hopefully will come up with a first approximation of what it is that we think we're talking about. Because at the moment, it's really purely in the area of hand-waving. We think that there's a normative, we ought to do something, but we don't really know what, for whom, why, how. And I think that that's what these four objectives start to outline. So I actually see them as all useful. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. So just for clarification, that you mean that first we need to define what kind of needs and for which applicants? Sorry?
No, as I say, looking at the objectives, I think that, you know, what are the kind of criteria that applicants would fulfill? Are we talking about any applicant that wants to apply? Are we talking about applicants from certain regions? Are we talking about IDN only? Are we talking about people that have budgets, you know, or have existing financial resources above, below, you know, when we're talking about kinds of support? Are we looking to provide, you know, business advice, you know, on how to write an application that has a prayer of passing without needing to pay hundreds of dollars an hour for a ICANN pro to help you do it? Are we talking about technical assistance to help you understand what the technical requirements are and how you can meet them with a, you know, registry service provider, or if you really want to create one in your own country, how you can do that in cooperation with perhaps your CCCLD or somebody else, you know? Et cetera. So what kinds of help do we want? Looking at providers, who are we thinking of going to? Are we thinking of you know, making a recommendation to ICANN that they set up a foundation that uses, you know, profits from, you know, auctions in the future? Are we looking at going to, you know, the registries and registrars that we've got now? Are we planning to go, are we planning to go to Ford and other foundations and ask them for money? So what type of fundraising are we talking about? What kind of structure are we saying? Is this money that, you know, we're going to hand to the implementation team and the staff to do, or are we going to recommend some sort of structure? And then the fourth one is sort of, you know, what do we plan to ask these people we give money to, or, you know, not we, but the group that we recommend being set up? What are we going to ask them to do? You know, whenever you give money, if your Ford Foundation giving money to an NGO or something, you know, you've got certain conditions that you put on them. You've got certain financial oversight. You've got certain, you know, maybe project officer oversight, just to make sure that, you know, you're not throwing it into a sump and it gets used properly. So, et cetera. All those four things make sense. And I think we need to take them first, ask them, and have some idea of what we're talking about. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Avery. So we have first Alan, after Ivan, and Alien. So please go ahead, Alan.
I just a clarification. I wasn't meaning to imply the other of the objectives 1 and 4 specifically were not relevant. They are very relevant. I was suggesting that the order of them was inappropriate, and that first we should be thinking about what business are we in and then setting the rules for the business, as opposed to vice versa. But I do thank Avery for being a one-person think tank. I hope we'll get a transcript out of this big call, because I think she's identified a very large number of our both questions and many of the answers that we need to come up with.
Thank you, Alan. So,
yes. Can I get in queue? I kind of lift up my hand in Wiki. This is Tony Harris.
You are the A. So, okay.
I am A, actually. It's Andrew Mack. I hit it accidentally before I put my whole name in. Sorry about
okay.
that. It's early for me.
Okay, so Evan and Anthony and the A person and Ellen. Okay.
Yes, I wanted to ask, and I don't know if this is the right form to ask it, but this is an outgrowth of informal meeting that was done in Nairobi on categorization, and I'm wondering if we are either duplicating, placing the mandate of that. The reason I ask that is because many of the questions that Avery asked were actually starting to be addressed by that categorization group of what would constitute a TLD application that would be suitable for a subsidy or something like that. So I'm not quite sure. Is this replacing that group, or is this running in parallel? Because if it is, some of the issues Avery mentioned would be sort of duplication of what that group was already starting to talk about.
Maybe Avery, can you replay to...
It's Alan. I can also comment on that.
Okay, Alan. So.
Yeah. I think Evan is incorrect that the meeting he's talking about, in fact, was going on in parallel with the board meeting privately to come up, that among other things, came up with this resolution. So I think that they may be complementary. To say one followed the other or replaces the other, I think, doesn't tell history the way it was.
Okay.
But there are indeed areas of overlap.
But not thinking the history, I'm thinking simply in terms of purpose. Are we duplicating some of what that group is doing? That's my issue. Whether
depending on how that group goes, it may end up being overlap, and we should benefit from that. There's a lot of membership overlap also.
No, I should confess, I'm not aware about this working group, but maybe if we can get
Bertrand de La Chapelle's working group on categories of GTLDs.
So maybe we need to get more information. I'm not sure how we can handle this, but maybe if we can get more information so we can avoid to overlap with their working and going in that working group. My point was simply
some of the questions that Avery was asking were absolutely relevant, but they may already be getting addressed elsewhere. Is my point, which could sort of sharpen our own focus here.
Can I comment directly on that? I don't have my hand up, but on that.
Please go ahead, Avery.
Okay, just quickly. I think that cross community group that Bertrand put together, first of all, is sort of a new effort to try and come up with categories, and this group is sort of, there was a board resolution and an SO and an AC that actually formally formed this group. I think we certainly can use that, and I think many of us are participants in both, but I think that this is a formally chartered activity, has a certain mandate to go do something, whereas the cross community group is something where a bunch of us got together and we're trying to do something. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. So the next is Andrew.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry, I signed in as A accidentally. I started typing my name and I hit the return. A couple things. First of all, I agree very much with a lot of the questions that Avery set out, and I think that's an excellent list. It would strike me that it makes the most sense to start with our identified audience. Who are we really trying to be helpful to? And then the way that we go about it will fall out fairly reasonably from that. In terms of the bit on categorization, because I was at part of that meeting, if I remember correctly, in Nairobi, the sense that I get is that that's a predetermined destination, that the assumption is that we should end up with categories. I'm not sure whether that will end up whether that's where we'll end up going as a community or not, and I don't know if it makes any difference for this group. I wouldn't worry that we're overlapping too much with them, because either way, some of the things that we're trying to address, whether or not they're categories, I think we'll still need to address some of the issues that Avery brought up. But I would start off with our audience. Who are we trying to support?
Thank you, Andrew. Ellen?
Yes, good morning. I have some thoughts about the objectives that are presented. For objective one, I think that if we could actually present some scenarios based on some known needs, that would be helpful in determining what criteria we must develop. And some thoughts around that are, if we look at the criteria that are already established for fellowship applicants, I don't know if those criteria are based on perhaps the GDP of a country or things like that, but that might be a good place to start. For objective three, identifying potential providers, I'm well aware of several companies that are willing to provide reduced cost services such as DNS. Packet Clearinghouse provides free DNS services to CCTLDs in third world countries. And I know for a fact that my company, Minds and Machines, also provides reduced cost services. And so I think, I'm sorry, I can't remember if it was Avery, but someone had a very good point about needing to consider the providers and what their criteria might be. So I think that we might want to have a call for volunteers, asking which providers would be willing to provide these services and making sure that they're involved in these discussions. And finally, I do like the idea of setting up a foundation with any auction revenue if we need to offset the cost of the actual application fees. Thanks.
Oh, okay, thank you. So,
don't forget Tony.
Anthony? Yeah, Tony, go ahead, please.
It's my turn now?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, okay, I just have a question for Olaf, and I may I may have misread the objectives, or perhaps there's some oversight. But I don't see anything in the objectives that addresses the main line of comments on this that I have seen and participated in the public forums in every ICANN meeting, which is, I think the basic question here is, and I mean, Avery really hit it on the nail when she outlined where all this is going. These objectives are just going in all kinds of directions, but it has been scrupulously avoided in the objectives. I don't see any mention of the basic problem, which is the application fee is outrageously expensive, and particularly for a nonprofit organization. It is, as we have commented, we've gone online commenting on this from my federation in Latin America, it is way, way beyond anything that has been done in the past as far as costs are concerned. Previous rounds, the application fee was in the order of $50,000. And, I mean, the TLDs came online. There was no rocket science involved in the evaluations. And now we seem to be, we've come up with four objectives from what I can see here that are talking about, as Avery said, who are we going to go for support to? We have to find foundations who will do this. And in the objectives, there is absolutely no mention of the fact that perhaps the simplest solution is in justified cases, this application fee might be reduced, where there is no contention, there is no need to go into extended and conflicts of solutions or to contested strings. It just seems to be, I mean, completely deviating from the what I interpret is the original intent of the community, which is this is very expensive for nonprofit organizations, and ICANN here appears to be completely out of the loop as far as being a potential provider. It's just a comment, but I may have misread the objectives.
This is Olof. May I respond? Wait for... please. Rafik, make the cue, and I try to respond at the very end.
Olof, please go ahead. So.
Well, first of all, I note that at least the objective served the purpose of launching the discussion, which was obviously the reason. And secondly, there is no underlying intent or whatsoever. This I tried to make them both generic, so of general applicability, rather than very specific. And I tried to stretch them a bit, which I may have done too far, but the starting point is providing support. I mean, that's the starting point of the board resolution, and it's also the starting point, as I've interpreted it, from the launch and initiative from the GNSO. Well, that it all one aspect, and that's the financial aspect, but this is much wider. A priori, it's much wider. It's not necessarily confined to financial and not necessarily confined to any particular solution that it should be handled. Let's say you come to the conclusion that it should be handled by ICANN and should be take the form and shape of some kind of subsidy to certain applicants. That would be a foregone conclusion, wouldn't it?
Thank you, Olof. So we have Sebastian in the queue.
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to support what Tony said. It's from my point of view, one essential point what we need to work on. I think it's we need to incorporate the fact that some cost of ICANN could be decreased or less important for some of the applicants if they fulfill some criteria. It's not just about the level of the fee to be candidate, but it could be also to find a way to decrease the need of a U.S. lawyer for an applicant from some countries where it's not the same type of law, where it's not the same language, and so on and so forth. And it's like everything here, it's written in complicated English with a lot of terms that it's difficult to understand. That it could be one way also to decrease the difficulty to be an applicant in some area of the world. And my second point, it's I agree with Ellen who say about if there are auctions, what to do with this money. And I think we never really discuss that point. I guess in the ICANN arena thoroughly, but it could be a good, interesting way to use this money. It's to help some possible applicants to come alive in some area of the world again. I really think that we need to encapsulate that in those in maybe new objectives in this document. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm not sure, Ellen, you raised your hand.
Yes, thanks. I'm wondering if we could just...
Oh.
Hello?
Hello, I think that we lost Ellen. So.
We lost Ellen, yeah.
Okay.
I can still see her on MeetingView, so connected, this is all off.
I'm not sure. Maybe she's in mute or something. Anyway,
oh, well.
Maybe she is. Well. So who is talking? So we have Alan in the queue.
Yeah, I think we're going too far at this first meeting before we even have the charter to start brainstorming on the possible solutions. I mean, all of the ones mentioned are relevant. And in fact, have been discussed going back at least 3 or 4 years that I'm aware of, you know, in terms of foundations and revenue from auctions, and reducing the price. We're operating under a specific board bylaw or a board motion, which in the preamble says we're working under the principle of cost recovery. That doesn't stop us from perhaps coming up with some rationale why we should analyze cost recovery differently, but that's addressing the real problem that we're looking at, and I think we're going too deep into problem solving today, and that's not the chart, that should not be the order in which we're doing things.
Thank you, Alan. So just I think that Alfie in the chat asking is we have a charter or not. We have the draft charter, but we are discussing about, and so maybe if people... So maybe if people need to, we are discussing maybe if there is need for specific rewarding or something like that, maybe we can discuss more about that in the mailing list. I think it's more appropriate, and because we already have 40 minutes, and so we, I think we have 1 week to approve this charter. So, Avery, you have any question or?
I think before the call ends, it was scheduled for an hour. We need to talk about when are we going to schedule meetings.
Yeah, that's the item 4. Okay, about the schedule. So, Olaf, can you go to the put the schedule for the?
Certainly. Thank you, Rafik. This is Olaf. We've got a very, very tough deadline to provide something to before the Brussels meeting, the ICANN Brussels meeting. And, what I've just put up as a few milestones a bit further down. You can scroll yourself on the Adobe Connect, the pod on Adobe Connect, where you have the draft charter below that, we have the first conference call and foreseen something like a 10-day period, a little over a week to get the charter approved. That means we need to agree on a draft, and it needs to be approved, I suppose, by the GNSO and the ALAC at some point in time, and presumably before then. And then we have weekly conference calls. That's sort of the proposal, starting around the 12th of May, when we have the charter approved, going into early June, and during those four, five calls, perhaps, we need to get some kind of recommendation that we can be presented and discussed, and subsequently, I suppose, that it would need some further refining. I think it's very, very ambitious, and the question is now, of course, also that general approach, what can be achieved within this period, and would, for example, having weekly conference calls on Wednesdays at some defined time that we set up. We're proposing that we set up a doodle for various time slots in order to see where the majority, there is majority support, and go from there for the planning of the calls. Whether the calls can be kept at 1 hour or should be kept 2 hours or something else, that's also something that would appreciate input on. But of course, we've got a very, very heavy task in front of us and very short time. If that can serve as an introduction.
Thank you, Olaf. So we have Avery in the queue and Tijani. So Avery, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest then that we start immediately with planning for the weekly meetings and certainly not wait until we've, you know, finished the charter to do that. I'd also like to suggest that we, you know, discuss the charter over the next week on the list as heavily as we can and try to close the subject of a charter by next week. I think that, you know, as much as possible, we should try to accept what's here, taking into account, you know, Tony's point, although it will be difficult to include that, but perhaps we can include some objective that sort of says if we want to make any recommendations, not that anybody would listen to them necessarily, but I definitely think we should start with the, you know, meet next week and do as much as possible on the list and on the wiki. And if the charter is in the wiki, then we can start working on it and making comments and not wait for a next meeting to do the next stuff. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. It's really good suggestions, and that's, I think, the best way that we can follow. So to discuss in the main English and to comment in the wiki, so in the, I think, at in the next conf call, we can approve quickly the charter, etc. So we have Tijani and after Alan. Please, Tijani, go ahead. Okay.
Is Tijani muted?
I'm not sure. Okay, so please, Alan, in the meantime.
Yes, Tijani's on mute.
Perhaps someone can unmute him.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I was muted, that's why. Now we have a charter, a draft charter that, thanks to Olaf, we have a draft charter that we will discuss during the week, and we will comment it, and perhaps we will modify it. Inside the charter, there is a point, a link to the working guidelines, and it's a document of 30 or 40 pages that we also have to go in. If we will put it in the charter, we have to go in and we have to discuss it also. Shall we be able to do that during the week?
Sorry, I'm not getting the point about the working group guidelines. the GNS working group guidelines?
This is all of indeed. It's a long document, and it is a draft which is up for public comments. I think still, so it's a lengthy document. It's just in order to have some kind of reference to some kind of rules. But if there is a general feeling that we shouldn't refer to them at all, well, then we shouldn't.
Wash your mouth out with soap immediately, Olive.
Thank you, Sherry. So,
if I just want to say, yes, it is a long, it is a longish document. It is draft. It is the product of input from both GNSO and ALAC personnel. I think if we look at it as in principle guidelines, and we won't, we don't need to discuss it. If anyone has great problem or variance with something at a time when it is needed to be looked at, referred to, or implemented during our work group process, and I think we can deal with it. But I think as a general framework for us to work with, and it's totally biased, of course, on my part, I'm more than happy to, A, have it as a major reference, and B, allow some flexibility in the rare and unlikely circumstance that we have a problem with it.
Thank you, Sherry. So, Avery and Alan.
Yes. I want to quickly endorse what Cheryl said. I'm on that group with her, as well as several other people. And if we start discussing that document, we will never get to the rest of the work we've done. We've been discussing that document weekly for months now. I do recommend that people read it. I do recommend that people send, you know, make comments. The way we've used the document, I think, already in one other group is almost beta testing the document and the process.
Yes.
This is really almost the best we've come up with at looking at the experience we've had doing working groups over the last couple years. So while I hate to say take things on faith, you know, this certainly hasn't been approved yet by either the GNSO and certainly not by ALAC and its executive committees, et cetera, but the work has been collaborative, and it is the best we've got at the moment. Thanks.
No, thank you, Aubrey. Just that we don't have so much time. I think maybe we can get more 10 minutes, but so it's everybody can contribute quickly and briefly. So please, Alan.
Yeah, Cheryl and Aubrey said almost everything that I was going to say. My only additional comment is, in addition to it may make interesting reading for participants, I think it is required reading for whoever ends up being the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And
Avery and I may make reference to it from time to time as the urge takes us, do you think?
And some of us who didn't write it may make reference to it also.
Okay, so I think that the best way that Olof or Glenn, so set up the doodle for regular calls with some time slot, and so we can decide how. So we will make a weekly conf call, and so we decide about the time. Okay, I think maybe we can go to the item 5, but maybe we did a lot of substantive discussion about the working group charter. So I don't see anybody in the queue. So
Alan is not now in the queue. I'm not absolutely sure if one of the items in the draft working group guidelines is that we try to adhere to our cutoff time for these meetings. But I really would like to do that. Meetings that run over, especially run over a lot, really make complicated days a lot more complicated. So if this is an hour meeting or an hour and a half, whatever we decide on in the future, I would like to see us try to keep to that, and that includes today to the extent possible.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so maybe because we are running on the time. Maybe we should finish this conf call soon, maybe 1 minute or two, if anybody have any suggestion or comment.
I think we've made good. I think we've made good headway for the first day, with only half the people here.
Okay, so maybe we can adjourn this meeting today.
Yes.
Okay.
In that case, Rafiq, I thank you for taking the lead on this.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Rafiq.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks, Rafiq.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.